Now in verse 16 here, he moves into another area. There is the warning of approaching judgment. And that, of course, is the day of the Lord. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all the streets. They shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the farmer to mourning, and such as are skillful in lamentation to wailing. Why? And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. The judgment of famine that we saw back in the last chapter, all of that was a warning. And it caused a great many people to very piously say, he puts it here as a woe, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. There are a great many people today who are saying, oh, if the Lord would come. And for them, it's nothing in the world but a pious sentiment. And for them, it's not going to be as pleasant as they think it's going to be. Now, I read, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Again, we have that expression, the day of the Lord. Joel is one of the first of the writing prophets, and he's the one that introduces that subject. And every one of the prophets after him has something to say about it. And we need to be very careful, because I'm sure many of us always thought the day of the Lord was the millennium. I'll be very frank with you, I was taught that at the beginning, that the day of the Lord was the millennium. Well, Joel was very careful, and Amos now, who is the prophet in the northern kingdom, as Joel was in the southern, to make clear that the day of the Lord is not light, it's darkness. In other words, the day of the Lord begins with judgment and moves on to the coming of Christ to the earth to establish his kingdom down here upon this earth. Now, there are great many commentators, and I say a great many, I don't have too many on Joel, but I have several that feel like that the people were becoming rather cynical, and they are really ridiculing the day of the Lord. Now, I don't see that here at all. In fact, I don't see how that interpretation could possibly be true. I see it on the opposite side, that a great many of these people became very pious. You see, they were going through the ritual, the Mosaic ritual, but they were also worshiping idols. In other words, it was just religion to them. That is all that church going is to a great many people today. There's nothing vital, nothing real, there's no reality to go through a ritual. And that's the reason so many church services are so dead, and I mean dead, is because of the fact that you have there nothing in the world but a ritual that you're going through. Now, it may be beautiful, it may appeal to your eyes, it may appeal to your ears, but does it change your life? Is it transforming? Is it something that you take out with you into the marketplace that you can live by? There are a great many people, and I want you to hear this very carefully, and I'm saying it very carefully today. There are a great many people who are very pious today among those that are premillennial and pre-trib. We say, oh, if the Lord would only come. Well, do you really want him to come? Or are you using the rapture of the church as sort of an escape mechanism? It is to get you out of your trouble down here. It's to deliver you from your trouble. It's like the fellow that I tell you about when I was in seminary. When we were studying Hebrew, and we'd come out from the dining room of the evening, and he'd look up. We had a hard Hebrew lesson for the next day, as well as a Greek lesson. And he would say, oh, if the Lord would only come tonight. Well, what was he after? He didn't want to study Hebrew. And I never shall forget when he graduated. He was to graduate one night. He was to get married the next night and then go on his honeymoon. And I never shall forget the night before graduation. He came out and he looked up and he says, I sure hope the Lord won't be coming now for several days. Well, my friend, may I say to you, I'm afraid a great many of us look at the rapture like that. This man Amos said, you pious folk that are just going through the religious ritual and you're worshiping idols, the day of the Lord is not something that you ought to desire, because it's not light. It is a day of darkness and not light at all. You go through a great tribulation period when the day of the Lord comes. What you want to do is to jump into the millennium. Now let me be very careful and say something to those of us today who believe the church will not go through the great tribulation period. My friends, some of us are going to think we got into it after we get to heaven. You know why? Will you listen to what Paul had to say? Now I'm reading 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. He says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is the Bema. This is not the great white throne at all. Here is where Christians come. For what reason? That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Is this salvation? No. Paul says there's no other foundation any man can lay, but you can build on that. And you can build with wood, hay, and stubble. You can build with gold and silver, precious stone. But every man's work, not his salvation, not his person, every man's work shall be tested by fire. Now, if any man's work survives the fire, he'll receive a reward. But suppose it doesn't. Paul says he'll be saved, but so as by fire. And that's the reason I make the statement oftentimes that a great many people, they're saved. I grant that, but they're going to smell like they were bought at a fire sale when they get to heaven, because everything they did down here, they did in the flesh. They did it for some earthly reason, for some present satisfaction. And I want to be very frank and say this to you today, that Vernon McGee, as he's getting toward the sunset, I'm no longer on the young side, like to kid myself sometime to think I might be, but I want to say this to you very candidly. I'm wondering how I'm going to come out up there. You say, oh, you have the through the Bible, and so many say, I'm going to get a great reward. You don't know me like I know myself. If you did, you'd turn the radio off. Well, wait a minute, don't turn it off, because if I knew you like you know yourself, I wouldn't want to talk to you. You see, friends, our life that we've lived down here as believers is to be tested today. And it's pious nonsense to run around today and pretend to be so interested in the coming of Christ. When some of us get to heaven, we'll think we didn't miss the great tribulation. Because notice what Paul said after he gave the statement that we'd all be tested at the Bema of Christ. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And I'm trying to persuade you today, friends, that when you appear in his presence, if you think that he's going to pin a nice little Sunday school medal on you because you didn't miss Sunday school for 15 years, I think you're wrong. I don't think that that's going to come up. I think that the life that you live in your home, your witness in your business, your social life, your contact with the opposite sex, these are the things that are going to come before the judgment seat of Christ, and the things that were done in the body down here. Do you want to go up there now? Have you got everything straightened out? Paul says if we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. And that's the reason today I'm trying to keep everything confessed up. I'm running short accounts with the Lord today. I'm confessing everything. You know why? Because if I don't, he's going to straighten it out up there someday. When you lost your temper and you gave a wrong witness, and today you gossiped and said something about a believer, do you think that when you get in the presence of Christ that he's going to pat you on the back and say what a nice little fellow you are. He's going to straighten that out. Things have to be made right in heaven, friends. And that's the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ. And believe me, Amos is putting it on the line. He says, cut out this nonsense you desire, the day of the Lord. It's not light. It's darkness. There's a great tribulation you'll go through. And there is the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't think it's going to be as pleasant as some folk think it's going to be.